Okay, Alexander, let's revisit what's going on in Belarus. We have been going back and forth on this one.
Yeah.
Maybe Lukashenko will stay. Maybe Lukashenko will go. Now it looks like Lukashenko may squeak it out and remain as president of Belarus for the time being. I think he has been weakened. Some people don't think he's been weakened. I think he has been weakened, and I think sooner or later he will be on his way out. What that means, I don't know. I mean, no one wants a power vacuum. Everyone wants a stable and prosperous Belarus that is working with and connected to Russia, which is a brotherly relationship with Russia, but of course is open to the world for trade and for cooperation and prosperous. It's in a very, the country is in a very delicate phase right now. And it looks like Lukashenko may be finding his bearings. What's going on? What's the latest update from Belarus?
Yes, I mean, I think we need to make it very clear that just as we were saying before, when it looked as like his position was wobbling, that he, you know, he was still there and that he was still holding on, and you know, it wasn't certain that he would go. Now that he looks to be a little bit more stable, it's still a very volatile situation, and we can't be sure that this is that he's definitely going to stay. Also, I would stress that I am entirely in agreement with you that even if he survives this crisis, which it's now beginning to look as if he will, he has been weakened, and I also think he won't be in power for very long. And by the way, he seems to have accepted that. He actually made a speech before some workers at a factory in which he accepted that he wouldn't be president of Belarus for very, very much longer. But nonetheless, things do seem to be a bit better for him. Now, what happened was, over the weekend, there were big protests. It looked as if there were going to be strikes in many factories. What has actually happened is that that strike wave seems to have receded. Most of the workers have gone back to work. And on top of all of that, the protests themselves over the course of the week seem to be diminishing in size. Why is this happening? I think there have been three reasons. Firstly, Lukashenko himself has come out fighting. He's been constantly on television, rallying his supporters, giving commentary against the opposition, talking about, you know, the kind of policies that they would have and how bad they would have been for Belarus. And that seems to have gained traction, especially with industrial workers. But I think the major reason is that his opponents have made some extraordinary mistakes. Firstly, the opposition set up a council, and this several of the people in the council then spoke about their plans for Belarus, which included a complete split from Russia, Belarus joining NATO and the EU, Belarus making a Belarusian language, which hardly anybody speaks in Belarus, by the way, the official language of Belarus, the kind of things which, if you know Belarus well, do not go down very well. Then, of course, the council understood that this was a mistake, and they tried to retract it, and they said, you know, they preserve all the connections with Russia, but it wasn't terribly convincing. And they seem to be in some disarray and in a mess. But I think the other thing that worked for Lukashenko and worked to his favor was that the EU has completely botched its response to all of this, because they clearly and overly backed these protests and this opposition grouping in a way that made many people in Belarus see this as a color revolution intended to draw Belarus away from Russia and towards the West. And again, I think people in the EU are oblivious to how unpopular the EU in so many places now, including in Belarus, has become. So then we have this extraordinary spectacle of these EU leaders trying to sort of directly meddle in this affair. Angela Merkel tries to call Lukashenko, and for the first time ever gets snubbed. Lukashenko refuses to speak to her. I don't think that's ever happened to Merkel before. And apparently it caused consternation in Germany and criticism of Merkel when it came out. And then, of course, they couldn't speak to Merkel, to Lukashenko, so they call Putin in Russia instead. We get readouts of the sort of things that Putin was saying to Merkel and Macron. First of all, to Merkel, who was the first person to speak, and the Russian readout reads, the Russian side stressed that any attempts to interfere in Belarus's domestic affairs from the outside, leading to a further escalation of the crisis, would be unacceptable. So that's a snub from Putin to Merkel. Then Macron tries, of course, when it's always, whatever Merkel does, Macron has to follow. So he calls Putin. And then what Putin says to Macron is this: Vladimir Putin emphasized that interfering in Belarus's domestic affairs and putting pressure on the Belarusian leadership would be unacceptable. So it's the same to him. Then we have the president of the European Council, Charles Michel. Remember, all of these people have tried to speak to Lukashenko. Lukashenko has refused to speak to them, so they're calling Putin. So now Michel speaks to Putin, and what Michel gets from Putin is this: Putin expressed concern in connection with some countries' attempts to put pressure on the Belarusian leadership and destabilize the internal political situation there. So Michel doesn't give up. He calls again on, this is a second call from Michel. This is the president of the European Council. He again calls Putin a day later. And this is again the next Russian readout. The Russian president emphasized that any pressure on the leadership of the sovereign Belarusian state and any outside interference in the internal processes taking place there would be counterproductive. And he then goes on to say, the earliest possible normalization of the situation in Belarus meets the interests of both Russia and the European Union. So Merkel gets snubbed by Lukashenko. European leaders get snubbed by Lukashenko. Putin is absolutely unflinching. And at the same time, the strike wave is abating in Belarus and the protests are diminishing as the people of Belarus start apparently to sense that the Europeans are trying to hijack their protest movement. So the result is the Europeans, it seems to me, have botched this. At least that is how it's looking at the moment.
Yeah, Lukashenko put them on ice. So a real quick question to wrap it up, Alexander. Is a possible Russian strategy, because we've documented in many videos how frustrated Putin and the Kremlin are with Lukashenko and dealing with him. And they probably wouldn't be unhappy to see a changing of the guards as long as it was a stable changing of the guards, one built on stability and order, and built with a government that they could probably have an easier time dealing with. So is the plan maybe going forward, keep things orderly, keep things stable, and let's get a proper succession in. Let's get a proper, stable new government in place before Lukashenko steps down once again in an orderly fashion. May that be the plan? Start just get things in a more orderly manner for the replacement of Lukashenko.
I think that's exactly what is happening. Now, I spoke about how Lukashenko is refusing to speak to the Europeans and how the Europeans are getting snubbed by Putin. The other side of this is that Putin and Lukashenko have had at least 4 telephone conversations over the last few days. The Russians have only provided information about 2. But in fact, we know there'll be many more. We know that the Russian and Belarusian prime ministers have spoken. We know that the head of the Russian parliament has spoken to the head of the Belarusian parliament. And we also know that, though this has not been announced, that the head of Russia's major counterintelligence agency, the FSB, has actually been to Belarus because his plane was seen there. So there is a major Russian dialogue underway with Lukashenko at the moment. I think the Russians are pointing out to him that his situation now, he may survive this, but he's clearly been weakened. If he's going to preserve his legacy, he needs to start thinking about a stable and phased transition to a new leadership, which will be able to maintain good relations with Russia. And there's talk now of a new constitution. This was actually floated before the election, but it's now been given a great deal more, force. And clearly, I think the Russians are preparing for life beyond Lukashenko. But it doesn't change the fact that it looks as if he's going to survive and pull through, and that the Europeans have botched this one completely.
All right, and we will continue to follow this
Absolutely.
story, because it has been changing by the day, by the
By
minute.
the day, by the day. And of course, it's still very volatile. If there's a major outbreak, violence somewhere, the whole thing could flip the other way. But for the moment, as I said, things are moving in Lukashenko's favor, and the Russians are clearly on the ground and involved, and the Europeans have been closed down.
We'll know by the weekend, because if there's any major protests, they're always taking place over the weekend. And if there is a protest that's scheduled, we'll see how big it is, and there we'll get a much better feel as to
Exactly.
where the momentum is. So we'll have
Exactly.
a real clear picture probably by Monday.
Agreed. Agreed.
All right, Alexander Mercuris, editor-in-chief of the Durant, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on that red subscribe button. If you like the work we're doing, please subscribe to our channel. That way you will get notified, hopefully. YouTube will notify you every time we put up a new video. And please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and subscribe Star. Your donation helps us put out content and helps us report all the news to you that we can possibly report. We are a small outfit, and your donation really helps us grow. And go to the Durand shop, pick up some new magic mugs. This is a US country
This is
magic mug.
absolutely. This is Australia, by the way.
And
We
you have
also
some new stuff there
absolutely,
too.
and we've also got Russia, by the way, again. But this is a smaller mug because we're now doing small porcelain mugs, 11-ounce ones alongside our 15-ounce ones. But we've also, alongside our porcelain mugs, we've now got enameled mugs here. This is of England, and this is of Germany. They're ideal for taking outdoors if you go camping, or if you go walking through the mountains, as I love to do, by the way, with my wife and my dogs. These are the ideal mugs for all of that. And that's indeed, by the way, what I will be very shortly doing with these wonderful, light, strong, incredibly purposeful and useful mugs. But you will also find not just our mugs. Alex has got a ever expanding gallery of amazing shirts. He's wearing one of the new ones with the double-headed eagle of the Durand there. But we've also got shirts like our mugs with the flags of various countries. And if you don't find your own country's flag either on a mug that you want or on a shirt, wait a little because it will probably come. And if it doesn't, just drop us a line and we will see what we can do to accommodate you. And at the same time, as well as these shirts, we've now got amazing hats. We've got embroidered hats. We've got trucker's hats. We've got baseball hat caps. They're all there in our shop alongside all our other great products, our ever-expanding gallery of ebooks, for example. You will find them all in our shop. You will support the Durand by coming to our shop and buying these great products, and you will be the proud owner of these great products when you buy them. So come to our shop, support the Durand. Alex will tell you how.
You'll find a link to our shop down below underneath this video in the description box at thedurantshop.com. Alexander Akers, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.